Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It is the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. That's where I feel like the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you're the weakest link kind of sound comes in. If this was an edited show, that's where that would go. Today's point. What is today's point? Today, we're talking about nostalgia, baby. This is kind of like a flurry of topics all coming together at a similar time, mostly because it's been a minute since I put out an episode of Point to Point. But first point, Star Wars, or Star Fox. Are you sick of hearing people talk about if they like or dislike the look of Star Fox? Well, I've got some good news for you. I'm going to tell you my opinion. Today's point is about nostalgia. It's like kind of a... I want to talk about a combination of the new Star Fox, same as the old Star Fox, the discourse, I guess, around mixtape, and the Nintendo Switch price increase. Surprise, there's a Nintendo Switch price increase. How shocking. So first, let's talk about Star Fox. They're bringing Star Fox back. They put out... They basically shadow-dropped a Nintendo Direct, which is funny. What a weird way of doing that. What a weird way of saying, hello, Star Fox. Even in the year of our Lord 2026, when we have remade the main game yet again, we don't really care about you. You get your own thing. Fuck you. We'll announce it an hour ahead of time. Game over. And I watched that whole announcement last week because people thought I would like it because I'm an Ace Combat head. And they're kind of right. The thing that kind of took me aback for a couple points there. So the first is I have great nostalgia for Star Fox 64. I remember that game quite fondly. And as a N64 kid who had like four cartridges... Star Fox 64 was one of the only N64 games I had that I could actually play and finish as like a 10-year-old or whatever. So that, you know, that helped. I remember finding the secret paths and like having all of that fun stuff there. I remember those games fondly. I never played any of the other ones. I heard that people... truly dislike Star Fox Adventure, which makes me want to play it all the more, but I don't think there's really a way to do that, besides perhaps emulating, and I think that's a DS game, so there's not really a way for me to do that, unless I want to get a 9 Thor, which I don't. They're expensive, because of rising prices. A fun callback we'll call back to in a minute. So the Star Fox thing came out. I think it looks like dog shit. I really don't like the way that the Star Fox characters look, but that doesn't really matter because I thought that this whole announcement was, wow, they're wearing their Star Fox t-shirts. They're coming out. They're announcing a remake of Star Fox 64 to fill the time between the next Star Fox game, which will just be called Star Fox. And that's not the case. The next Star Fox game is Star Fox, a remake of Star Fox 64, but now it's got cutscenes. And I think that we give Nintendo a lot of grace, a lot more than they probably deserve, for some of their really weird decisions. And I think that there's a healthy helping of, you know, well, they're not like Sony, they're not like Xbox, you know, so we can kind of give them a little bit. They're just weird. And I think that this is bad. Like, I think that this idea of, like, reinventing or remaking Star Fox yet again, but now it's a new art style, barely, and it has cutscenes, and, like, that's the tentpole Star Fox game we're getting, is, like... really blatantly cash grabby to me. Like, and really, like, tie that into the insert of Star Fox as a character in the Mario Galaxy movie and, you know, how cool that looked. I really didn't like the character in the clip that they showed, but also recognize that that movie is not for me. But they, like, showed off a really cool, like, vaporwave anime style in that thing, and holy cow, that looked really neat. I wish that's what the game looked like. But it kind of now seems like, you know, the whole hype cycle around, like, the Cloud or McCloud announcement in Galaxy, like, with the posters and everything in the lead up, they're like, hey, look, we're putting Fox over. Like, Fox is gonna be a new Nintendo character again. He's gonna be back. And all of that buildup is to, do you remember Star Fox 64? It looks better now. The end. And it's this, like, weaponized nostalgia where, like, the moment that announcement hit, when it wasn't like, hey, there's a new Star Fox, but we're doing this in the lead up to get you excited about Star Fox again, or, like, here's a silly reason about, you know, the mythos of Star Fox is really important, and therefore we're, like, getting it out there so you can get the story again, get up to date. Here's this $50 video game. Now you know what's coming in Star Fox The Next Generation. And it's not that. Instead, it is, let's introduce the character again in the big tentpole movie that you're taking your kids to see. And then we're going to introduce the video game again so that you can be reminded of the nostalgia that you had for this thing and, you know, emotionally purchase this video game for reasons. And it is, like, nakedly nostalgic for that. And I think that that's the thing that is really getting me about this and, like, kind of ties into the mixtape discourse is that there's a really good, I guess, a review, ostensibly, of Mixtape that Cameron Kunzelman did. You may know them from Range Touch, where they do Shelf by Genre or Just King Things. Also, Game Study, Study Buddies, which is a... All three of those are very good shows, doing deep reads of, like, pop science fiction and pop genre books. Going deep into Stephen King's catalog and, like, deep reading that. And then Game Study Study Buddies is about reading, like, basically textbooks for game studies and kind of talking about those through the lens of people who play video games. They're all really good shows. They're really deep reads on those concepts. And Cameron does not write a ton in, like, free internet spaces. You might come across their articles in, like, Polygon and stuff, but he wrote a review for Mixtape that is mostly about how nostalgia has changed from when the term was first created, where it is a thing that happens to you, it is something that overtakes you, you are overcome by nostalgia, to a thing that we, you know, to how capital markets have influenced that and how, like, you now buy things for nostalgia. Like, you seek it out instead of it being a thing that happens to you. And I find that really interesting in the Star Fox discussion and also the Mixtape discussion, because, like, the Mixtape talk of, like, you know, I really don't care about the discourse of, is this a video game or is it the best video game ever or is it just kind of like a hokey nonsense thing. I think Cameron, their points in that article kind of solidify where I stand on that. It's a really good piece. You should go read it. But all of that with the, like, Star Fox of it all, of, like, hey, we're, like, selling you this thing that is quite blatantly just to remind you of a moment and a time and a feeling that you had, and not so much, hey, remember how good this game was. Because, you know, the game is not changing. There's very, based on what they showed in that direct, at least, there is almost nothing new in there. It is the planet setup. It is the path setup. They're not adding new planets. They're not adding new paths, it seems. They've added achievements and the ability for you to face capture as Star Fox. Like, man. And so it, all of the things that they're presenting about this game, all of the things that they are trying to sell you on this game, are distinctly hearkening back to that time you sat down at an N64 and had fun with this video game. Which is a ploy that has been used a lot to try to resell you remakes or to resell you, you know, characters in Fortnite. I think the thing that feels like especially weird to me about this is that kind of, at least when Sony does this, at least when Microsoft does this, it is in service of the next thing. You know, Master Chief Collection comes out around the same time that the latest Halo game comes out. Okay, remember how good Halo is because it's been a bit. Oh, look, there's a new one coming out too. Hey, remember how good The Last of Us Part 1 was? Check out this before this new version of Last of Us Part 2 comes out. You know, there's like cycles and there's builds to it. And it seems so odd to me that Nintendo has primarily just kind of fallen into this place of, we support a really big movie that sells the feelings of the characters to a new generation. We sell a remake of a video game that is supposed to recapture the feeling that you, parent or older person, had while playing Star Fox 64, but now to a younger generation, without really changing it. Like, the gameplay of that game has not changed. It is just nakedly to sell more copies of that to people who have already played that game. And then they raise the price of the Switch, which is like another just like really silly thing of like, okay, so they raise the price of the Switch come September. So now you have this like buildup of FOMO of not having bought one yet. And now they announce they're going to raise the price. They add in new digital bundles for people who buy between now and I guess then. Unclear if that deal ends when the price goes up. But it's Nintendo first party games. It's like three games that have the bundles. They're not the new ones. I think besides like Pocopia is like the newest one. And so they get to look like a good guy because, hey, we're raising the price. Listen, Daddy Nintendo's over a barrel here. The cost of things continue to go up. And, you know, the poor corporation, we're really struggling out here with our $450 box. So we're going to do you, latecomers, a real solid. We're going to help you out. It's going to be only $500 still. You get a digital game. And we're going to reap the positive PR movement for the naked cash grab that is raising the price of the Nintendo Switch. And it just sucks. Like, I think about the way that Nintendo is doing stuff right now, and I'm obviously not, like, the biggest Nintendo person around, but, like, it just seems wild to me that they have this giant stable of really cool IP that people are incredibly invested in. And for the most part, they are doing small iterative changes to that formula. And they leave so much of that stable just laying languid for almost decades. Like, remember the last Star Fox game that came out? Really think about it. Have you thought about it yet? It was a Ubisoft game because they sold the little Star Fox R-Wing for whatever that game was called, something R-Link, Uplink, Starlanders, something like that. It was a Toys to Life game that had an R-Wing. People said that it was really good. And I just, like, do I want them to make Amiibos be Toys to Life games? Not really, but, like, it's really bad when you can sit there and say, I mean, Ubisoft did something interesting with the Star Fox IP, even if it was kind of like a add-in character. Like, you shouldn't be in a place where you're like, hey, Ubisoft did a good idea, and we didn't do that good idea, when we have a Toys to Life business. So So I don't know. It just seems odd that they have this giant stable of characters and storylines and stuff, and the way that they want to show them off is, like, even as much as I love Metroid Dread, right? Like, Metroid Dread is just another 2D Metroid game. It is better than all of those other ones, in my opinion. But, like, they're not doing anything wildly innovative in the gameplay. You're still collecting missiles. You're still collecting energy tanks. You're still doing the screw attack. You're still doing all of, you know, the ice beam, etc. Like, they're not changing the formula. Like, Metroid Prime, the Metroid Prime series is, like, you still get a double jump. You still get the morph ball. Like, there are things that are intrinsic to Samus as a character, but they have taken those two. Those are intrinsic to Metroid as a game. And that feels the same way with Star Fox currently, where Star Fox is Star Fox 64. And we're not going to try to make a new one. We're not going to try to reimagine Star Fox as something else. We're going to slap a new coat of paint on it, and then we're going to call it a day. Because ultimately, I think, and perhaps rightfully so, the strategy for Nintendo, for the most part, is, like, this is why everyone talks about, like, well, where's the next 2D Mario? Where's the next 3D Mario? Right? Because people are nostalgic for those things. They are nostalgic for the next game that reminds them of the time when they were happier in their lives, when gas prices weren't $5 a gallon. And I think that strategy has paid a lot of money to Nintendo. But when you sit there and look at the, like, big tech incremental software development that's happened with, or the hardware development with the Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2, that is the outlay for the software too. It is incremental improvement on a thing that already sold a gajillion dollars. And I think that's great for them. That's great for their shareholders. But as a person who does not have a Switch 2 and who has been, like, super not interested in getting one, the nostalgia factor of remember Star Fox 64 is not enough to get me to spend $450, let alone $500 come September. And I think this just comes all the way back to the original stuff that I've always said about this, that these price increases, this, like, constant gouging of consumers for access to video game hardware and software is making it smaller and is going to be an economic problem that these companies are creating themselves that will end up causing massive problems in the future. If there are less people who can pay to buy your box, that means there are less people to pay for your video games, and that means there are less people who are paying you as a corporation, which is why the prices are going up, because they've already priced them out, so they need to get more out of the people who are still on the fence. I don't know. I don't really know how you get out of it. Clearly Nintendo is not going to say, here's the Nintendo Switch 2 Lite, and it is $200. Like, that's not going to happen. You're looking at a $300 to $350 for a Lite, if that ever happens. But it feels a little bad, I think, when the best incentive that you can have to get the new box whose price is going up dramatically is, here's a thing from 30 years ago. Seems bad to me. But that's going to do it for me. I'm ready to get into work and do my jobby job. So, thanks for hanging out. I guess sorry for the dour episode, but I've been thinking about Star Fox a little too much this week. We'll catch you later. See ya.